Pacifica.
I'd like to call the fiscal year 2018 budget hearing for today to order. Today we are going to be reviewing the Department of Special Services budget. Before we begin, I'd like to recognize the members of council that are at the table. I'm Councilman John Cartier, holding the meeting, chairing the meeting today. We have Councilmember Kilpatrick with us, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Smiley. My aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the minutes of the meeting today. Moving on to the agenda, does anybody have some additions or changes to the minutes of the Public Safety and Land Use Committee meeting from previous budget hearings?
Motion approved.
We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Okay, the minutes of the Public Safety budget hearing and Land Use budget hearing are approved. They were held on the 24th of April and the 17th of April, respectively. Moving forward to the budget presentation, Special Services. Special Services is a large public works agency associated with county government, and it stands second only to DLDOT, and it's the other big public works agency in the state. And we're anxious to hear what you're proposing this year. So the new general manager of, you're still acting. Acting General Manager of Special Service, Tracy Searles, will start the process.
Well,
thank
today
you.
You have a speaking part.
I paid next
more
money.
She'll
I used
singing.
To remember that. So.
Good. My daughter prepped me. good afternoon. I brought a lot of members of my team with me today. As Councilman Cartier noted, it's a very large and diverse department, so I want to make sure that we are everybody's here to answer all the questions you might have today. In addition to introducing my team, I also wanted to take a minute to recognize the entire group. As I was preparing for today, I was looking back at some of our historical numbers, and it struck me before what I consider the recession, if you go back to like 2005, we had 474 employees in this department. And today, and these are funded positions, we're at 384. So we're down 90 positions, carrying about 43 vacancies. And I think that's pretty significant. And if you look at that same time span, we haven't cut back on any of our core services. You know, conversely, whether it's adding buildings like the Kirkwood and Claymont libraries, whether our park system, whether it's Glasgow, or the fact that we have a new role supporting, you know, special events, that wasn't something we did the same way 20 years ago. Fleet, I know, as good as they are for the police at the Tahoes, are definitely more work for Johnny and his group. And on the sewer side, the regulations just keep increasing. You know, we now have to inspect 2,000 stormwater ponds every year with three employees. So I really give this group and all of their employees a lot of credit, because I think they've done a great job at maintaining service levels over the year. So I just wanted to give them a quick shout out before we started.
2,000.
So would it be helpful if everybody introduced themselves and what they're responsible for? Or all of you?
I think for the record, that would be fine.
Okay, great.
Barry Knight, Chief of Building Operations and Maintenance.
Mike Harris, Environmental Compliance Manager.
Jim Hedrick, Chief of Construction Support.
Jason Zern, Operations Engineer.
Rob Roth, Operations Services Manager.
Denise Minardo, Program Analyst.
Steve Rubel, Project Administrator.
Johnny Cup, Transportation Manager.
Paul Freeze, Acting Internal Services Manager.
Kathleen DeChristopher, Department of Finance Officer.
Wayne Mayer, Senior Manager, Operations.
Paul Johnson, Property Manager.
Tony Schiavi, Assistant County Engineer.
Regis Schurz, Chief of Facility Maintenance.
Councilman Tackett.
Just point of information, I think this is the first time in maybe 10 years Wayne hasn't been before us, Act.
Okay.
Another way special services is somewhat unique is the fact that we are funded through both the general fund and through the sewer fund. So I don't know if you have a preference, but I was going to start with the general fund operating budget this afternoon. And I'm going to go through the highlights on each page. If I go too fast, don't hesitate to slow me down.
Don't worry, we will.
Yeah. The first page shows the positions, 187.5 in the department, in the general fund.
Before you begin, let the record reflect that Council President Hartley Nagel has joined us.
Kind of getting back to what I said when I started, back in 2005, the general fund had 258 positions. So I think this is generally, the general fund has been hit even harder than the sewer funds from a budgetary perspective over the years. And then you see the breakdown of the positions through the different divisions. The next page shows you the budget history since 2011. And it has our recommended budget at $15.4 million roughly for this year. And it has us down 8.53% from last year. That is related mostly to the cross charges, and there's a little bit more detail on subsequent pages about that. Actually, if you flip to the next page, it helps explain it a little bit better. The next page has a couple of pie charts illustrating our general fund operating budget. The first one shows its division among the department with the three main sections split pretty equally. But if you look to the summary to the right, our total general fund operating budget is about $27.4 million. We receive approximately $11.9 million back and fleet charges from the other departments that we service. And so that's what gives us our 15.4, and it also affects our bottom line as far as the negative 8% for our budget. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I want to, for the record, record that Councilman Woods has joined us. Proceed. Council Member Diller as well. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Back to this page, you'll see personnel costs are about 59% of our budget for the general fund. The next page shows the position history. Again, I already stated this, we're at 187.5 this year. We are down 6 positions from last fiscal year. 5 positions were moved to community services. It was 4 special services technicians, which serve at Carousel Park, and that's now operated by community services. 1 clerk typist was also moved to community services because they've been acting in that role for that department for a couple of years. And 1 HR technician was moved back to the HR department to provide more centralized services. So that's what that negative 6 positions is this fiscal year. The next 3 pages go over the department's diversity statistics. This is still an area that we're very committed to improving. I've been speaking with the Human Resources Department recently about both the recruitment program and the training program. As far as recruiting, they're sending things out to a very diverse network of entities to try to increase the diversity of our pool. We're also trying to increase training and hoping that that increases the diversity as far as our internal promotions. We really want to offer greater training to people. We're also looking at ways to partner with Votex and other institutions so that whether it's through our seasonal program or internships, we can give people training and exposure to the county to then help them get full-time jobs. The next page gives, after we get through diversity, just a summary by object level of the budget, and I'm going to go into a little bit more detail on that on the subsequent pages. on the object level for salaries and wages, you'll see we're up 0.28% this year. Increases are attributable to merit increases, to the 2% found in the union contracts, and to the 1% retro effective in 17. But for this budget, it was offset considerably by the movement of 6 positions to the other departments that I discussed. Similarly, employee benefits, they increased this year from 54.5% to 56.6%. But again, we had a little bit of an offset with some of the positions that moved. Training and civic affairs, there was no change this fiscal year. For communication and utilities, we had a minor reduction in this recommended budget, and both for electric service and for cellular telephone service, these changes reflect what we're seeing historically. We're spending a little bit less than what had been budgeted for, so we went ahead and reduced it in this recommended budget. Under materials and supplies, we're up just 0.34%. Most of these things, the custodial, plumbing, and electrical supplies, are related to the Route 9 library, in addition to extra buildings at Glasgow, Pavilion Number 5, and the Bank Barn at Glasgow Park. The next page, contractual services, are up less than 1% in this recommended budget. Again, a lot of this was moving things from some lines into others, and the increases that we see here are for the Route 9 library, also for the new buildings at Glasgow, and also we had some for our small parks. We had an increase in the contract price with our contractual vendors. We cut those, so it reflects some of those changes. Still overall a relatively minor increase from last year. Equipment replacement. You'll see a reduction in a couple of areas where we might have bought something last fiscal year. This basically reflects our replacement schedule for equipment and is consistent with that. So it has a very minor increase overall from last fiscal year. Am I going too fast or putting you to sleep? Let me know.
People will vocalize as they have a question, believe me.
Okay, great. Again, no change in grants and fixed charges, and the IGS costs are really something that's calculated and then put into our budget.
Before we go on to the next page, are there any other questions from members of council about what we've reviewed so far? I just have a comment. I mean, it's an amazing, you can come in with a budget $3 million less from 2011 and reflects 8% less from the previous year, but you're moving positions. That paints that picture for us. So you're down currently 24 positions in the department?
Do you mean vacant?
Yeah, vacants and
down. I think we're vacant. We have a total of 43, and I believe it's 18 in the general funds, but I will check that real quick. The total for the department, yes, we're 18 vacancies in the general fund, 43 total for the department.
43 total. Okay. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many of those positions are actually those vacancies are funded in this year's budget?
I believe they're all funded. They are all funded.
And what are your plans on filling any of those vacancies? Are there particular areas of special services that you find more of a need or less of a need in order to have the efficiency? And this is a department, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, that, you know, we look at public safety department providing public safety to others and trying to protect others. This is a department that I think there needs to be a high level maintain of safety for our personnel, our forestry, our special services, and folks that go out and work in the trenches and everything. So how does that all equate with those total number of vacancies, and if they're all funded, what is the path forward as far as filling any of them by need?
Right, as you know, right now, we're under a critical hiring review, so I think it's only the county's most critical positions that are being filled. We were recently able to fill three mechanics in the garage, for example, because that's something where we have to continue to provide those services safely for the fleet that's coming in. So we are able to fill critical positions, but it's, I wish I could answer your question on all 18 or all 43, because I think right now, going through both the process with the state's budget and the concerns we all had initially with the transfer tax and where we'd really be right now, I assume that this freeze will continue at least for a couple months, but I know that we're actively looking for ways to increase our revenue. Outside of watching the state, we're undergoing a performance review to help identify efficiencies for the county, and I think the hope is over the next several months to be in a better place and to have a path forward as far as balancing that structural deficit a little bit. And then once that happens, I think we'll be better able to prioritize. At this point,
good legal answer.
Well, I mean, it's true. It has to be our critical positions.
Well, I guess the question that I'm trying to zone in on, are there any critical positions from the standpoint of safety of our employees, our forestry folks? I mean, look, our folks go out there when everything's hitting the fan, and you know, we've had storms where they've had to go out and just mulch, where our parks and everything else were affecting properties and everything. So are there any areas that kind of stick out more than others that you would look to try to get those filled?
I think related to safety and also related to our work, I think the people in the field, you know, as I alluded to, the same basis as the auto mechanics and continuing to provide that service. If you look in property maintenance, they have motor equipment operators. And I think also, right, if you look at the general fund budget, the cuts they've taken, being at 258 positions, you know, years ago and where they are now. And I think also when people are in the field, that's where some of the safety concerns. You want to send a crew out with all necessary members of that crew. You don't want to be shortchanging it or having people rush to get something done and have an accident happen. So yes, I think to answer your question more directly, I would probably prioritize a lot of the positions, you know, in the field right now, especially as I look at this general fund budget.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Street.
On page 6, the diversity plan, when I count out of 174, I just count black and Hispanic, I come up with around 14%. And in my opinion, that's maybe half of what it should be. For 12 years and several months, I've been speaking about diversity. And particularly within this department. And in preparation for that, you maintain, and let me go back and say, this ain't your fault. I understand that you just got the chair, but it's been a problem, it's been ongoing. So in preparation for that, you talked about human resources recruiting, training efforts, and working with the BOTEC. Well, there's no additional money there in training, and quite frankly, the so-called efforts of human resources to date, changes in this department have been woefully insufficient, and I don't know what the BOTEC schools can do for you in terms of developing and implementing a specific diversity plan. So I'll just say I'm concerned. And unless somebody does something completely different, then next year this time it'll probably be 14%. And on the other hand, look at public safety and all the screaming and hollering I did about the absence of diversity in paramedics And when there was an extended intentional effort on the part of the director of public safety and the chief of paramedics, we got a different call. And second, separate and apart from the diversity, there were incidents within the last couple of years. Clearly, you know, when you had folks being subject to racial slurs, racial postings on county property, and I don't know what the end result of those things were, but ongoing problems. And with specificity, I would like to know, we don't have to do it today, what intentional efforts are going to be made to decrease the likelihood of future occurrence, and whether or not there's going to be an intentional effort to change the diversity. Is there going to be a diversity plan? If so, who's going to be responsible for developing, implementing, and monitoring? And quite frankly, in terms of staffing and procurement of contracts, this is where the money is. If it doesn't happen in this department, it's not going to happen. And if it only happens in other departments across the board in terms of us as a government, it's not as meaningful. And you've got many challenges as a director, but I would respectfully suggest that this is one of them, and I hope it becomes a priority for somebody, because for the 12 years and however many months I've been on this council, I've gotten lip service and hasn't been a priority for anybody. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other comments at this point? We're going to proceed forward. Ms. Searles, you move forward on the general fund presentation of special services. I think we're on 12, page 12.
Yes. Yes, we're on the same page. Fiscal year 2017 accomplishments. Just going to highlight a few of them. Over the past fiscal year, one thing, a lot of the general fund sections have all started to use CityWorks, our computer maintenance and management software. Building maintenance being the last, the final group to get online with that. In your books, if you see the fourth and fifth bullet down, gives you a list of the playgrounds that have been renovated and the game courts that have been renovated. I know that a lot of those local neighborhood, that infrastructure is something that you get a lot of feedback about. In the garage, we purchased a Snap-on diagnostic tool, which reduces the need to send out some of our heavy-duty trucks and gives us a savings with that vendor. As far as gives you a list of, we've replaced 81 new Tahoes, 9 interceptors, 4 EMS interceptors, 6 medic units, and we've also received about $193,000 in auction for our old vehicles. So our garage is certainly a very busy place. We completed construction of a bike skills facility in Middle Red Valley. I mentioned this because I don't know if it's something that a lot of people are familiar with, but it's a great little course that helps for particularly children to develop mountain biking skills with the different terrain and turns and things like that, then prepare them for Middle Run and other good mountain biking courses. We completed phase one of the Tri-State Park Rehabilitation Project. That includes Oakmont, Surratt, and Rose Hill. And I just picked out some of the highlights. Certainly you can see that there is more there. The next page talks about our goals and objectives for the upcoming fiscal year. I had mentioned CityWorks as far as our accomplishments, and we want with it up and running, use it more to analyze efficiencies, help us with our PM schedules, and just overall improve our productivity. We'd like to continue to update garage equipment to ease the physical burden and even some of the efficiencies, like I mentioned, with the piece of equipment we bought the past year. We're constantly prioritizing our forestry work and trying to improve and that in a safe manner. We talked about it in a special services committee meeting not long ago, just about the possible need for a larger staff, and that's something we'll continue to evaluate and talk to all of you about. One of our goals is communicating and working with the community and county council on department issues. And that is something, I think, for things like a park plan for the upcoming several years, farmland preservation. We'd actually like to develop a working group to include council and really work closely with you on important issues like that. And from the buildings perspective, we're completing the security project for all county buildings, completing an electrical power distribution upgrade. And on the park side, on the planning side, we'll be completing the Mill Creek Greenway from Camp Wright to Stony Batter Road. So just some of the highlights. Challenges?
Councilman Street, then Councilman Sheldon.
I play hard, but I play fair. And it would be completely unfair of me to talk about what's wrong and not commend the department, not thank everybody for what's been done. I got complaints about parks in my area probably about a year ago. And I was embarrassed myself because I didn't see it. And to take those parks from where they were to where they are now, just outstanding in terms of what you did, the manner in which you did it. The expeditious manner in which you've done it and the additional renovations that are planned, I certainly appreciate that, respect that, and I'm gonna put the task department, in my opinion, stepped up, went above and beyond. So I appreciate that. And, you know, in terms of the library, Steve's just done a hell of a job in working with everybody within all the departments to get it done. It was intentionally put on a fast track, and you know, the hard work and effort and all the things that come about in terms of change orders and folks changing their mind and things being put in place and the schedule to be open on time, I certainly appreciate. So I couldn't just sit here and raise saying about what's wrong but not expressing my appreciation for things that just in my council district alone that have been done in an outstanding way. Thank you, everybody.
Councilman Sheldon.
Tracy, on renovation of the following playgrounds, do you have a list for this coming year as far as what's on the docket to be planned, even though you might have to switch them, you know, on emergency levels, but do you have any?
We do, and you know that Paul Johnson, right, his group inspects them on a regular basis and updates the list accordingly. A lot of times he brings it with him to this.
Yeah, I can email you the list. We're just waiting for the final capital budget to get approved to see what the funding is going to be so we can determine how many we're going to renovate. But I do have the comp plan that I can email to all the council.
That's what I was going to say. We'll send an email to all of you for both that and game court improvements if you like.
Sure.
That's good. Okay. The last page we had talks about challenges. I think the first one, I've alluded to already, just keeping up with the continued growth of county assets, you know, with the understandable fiscal constraints. The second challenge listed talks about succession planning, and I believe that's going to be a particular struggle over the next year or two, just from what I'm aware of. I think that we're going to be facing maybe even more retirements and things of that nature than usual, so we're certainly trying to prepare ourselves for that with training and education. And then the last one, achieving the proper mix of preventative maintenance and corrective maintenance. We're hoping that the city work system will help us in that effort as well over the next year. So vacancies, the next page we talked about a little bit, but it details our 18 funded vacancies. The last section, contractual services, provides just a very detailed breakout from the things that were summarized earlier. So I don't usually go through that page by page, but certainly happy to answer any questions.
Councilman Bell.
Tracy, on the, just back on page 15, budget and procedures analyst was transferred. Where was that position transferred to?
That position was transferred to the purchasing department. It was actually an accountant one. No, it was budget and procedures analyst. Okay, sorry, I get my positions confused, but it was transferred to the purchasing department. That's why we have the vacancy.
Okay, so with that transfer, you still have adequate personnel in managing budget and...
No, that one is one of the ones that has actually been approved as one of the critical conditions to fill. So we're beginning that process right now. I give Kathy and her staff, or Denise, a lot of credit for pulling the budget together and everything, you know, we're handed. So thank you.
Does that conclude the general fund budget?
Yes, it does.
Any other questions, comments, members of council on the general fund budget of our special services department? Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, we have had conversations over the past several years, and as relatively recently as like a month and a half ago, about, you know, the possibility that we're going to be needing to look, as we move into the future, some cameras in the parks. We're just having too many episodes in there. You know, recently we had Surrette, you know, we're like to Glasgow, Wise, all around, and I just think that's something that, you know, we're going to have to get our arms around and have that conversation with, you know. I mean, I think it's past the point of who's going to pay for this. It's at the point of, we need it, and we're going to have to make sure it happens.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Powers has joined us at the special services budget hearing. Any other questions, comments on the general fund? Moving on to FY18 sewer fund.
Yes.
Okay.
And before I go into the budget book itself, I just wanted to, I know a lot of people are familiar with kind of the checkbook and the state of our general fund. I just wanted to give a little bit of an overview as far as the sewer fund. Currently, the sewer fund is also operating at a structural deficit similar to the general fund. And fiscal years 18 through 20, it'll actually be over $21 million that it will be operating in deficit. So I know some of you have heard my spiel in the past about treating the sewer fund like a utility and possibly considering kind of incremental regular increases to cover, you know, the cost. Rather than, I know, you know, one year we put in something like 29 or 39% at once. So whether we consider legislation that would have kind of a formula or methodical approach to do that, I think it would be something to consider in the future. One of my concerns is this year, our stormwater permit is coming to a close, and we'll be getting a new one from EPA. So we're likely going to be audited by the EPA over the next year. And when they do that and look at where our programs are, I think we've done a very good job with what we have, but certainly there's areas where we could do better. And one of the things, a lot of times EPA is very cognizant of what rates are in an area, whether you've raised them, and whether you're kind of responsibly making sure that your revenue covers, you know, all the regulatory demands of the system. So it's just something I'd like to talk to you more about over the next year.
Councilman Smiley.
Just keep your fingers crossed. There may not be an EPA to come visit
well,
you.
Well, that's true, maybe. Yeah. 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 We have a huge savings.
But to your point, more specifically, I agree that this is a utility fund, and the sewer should reflect, the income should reflect the costs. And we have increased mandates to maintain increased capital costs, and we also are having the other aggravating factor where there's less users in the system now. All of our industrial users have dropped out. So we've got these things that tend to create operating deficits. But I think, I don't know that state law would permit us to create a sort of a formula for this. We'd have to get that researched by legal. Otherwise, you know, it's best to try to contemplate small incremental increases rather than, of course, hit ratepayers with a big, you know, hit. So that's something we've got to really, if there is a legal authority where we could create kind of a automatic increases based on certain underlying factors, that's certainly something I would look at. But that has to be thoroughly researched by state law. Councilman Powers.
Is that still through the Public Service Commission?
No.
We are not subject.
It's because the rest of them are regulated by their utilities. That's how they're regulated.
They are, but our sewer system is not sent through the Public Service Commission.
I guess on the end, you know, we're the largest utility for sewage in the state.
Yeah.
And we don't, if we're not going through that, you know, I think we're the lowest rates in the state. You know, that's one increase that somebody uses it, they need to pay for it. So.
Councilman Street.
Folks from administration here, and you run it the way you see fit. But I would just make this suggestion. For the past 1, 2, 3, at least 3, maybe 4 months, our police force been on the streets with regularity in the city of Wilmington. Jim Baker, during his administration, decided he was a utility and he was going to charge us $18 million to go send our stuff to the water sewer treatment plant. I'm just respectfully suggesting y'all do what you want to do. But I can give you 18 million reasons and some cops why I wouldn't be negotiating something that made some sense in terms of fairness and exchange of services. And I'll leave it at that. It's up to y'all.
Well, Councilman Street makes a great point about that's a major cost factor in our sewer service is the contract with the city of Wilmington to do sewage treatment. So maybe at a later date we should get an update on where we are with that contract or no contract or just continuing negotiations. I don't know if we even operating under, we've expired the original agreement we had for 3 years and now we're just sort of continuing the fund it according to the old agreement. So, Councilman Street.
I'll just say when he said $18 million and we went along with it, I'm like, oh, you know, where's your gun? If you want to rob somebody, rob us right. Because it went from something that was about 2/3 of that up to $18 million all of a sudden because we're a utility. So far as I'm concerned, it was bull dealing with bull. But I'll leave it.
Thank you.
More than that.
All right. Proceed.
On with the sewer fund book. First page breaks down our positions, 196.5 positions in the sewer fund, split between environmental operations, which is the maintenance of our sewer system for the most part, and environmental compliance, which includes our stormwater program, landfills, our environmental issues. The next page gives our sewer fund budget history from 2011 forward. The recommended 18 budget is almost $48 million and represents an increase of 1.68%. The pie charts, again, pretty self-explanatory. The one thing I'd like to point out is you note in the top one that environmental compliance has a huge piece of that pie, and similarly in the bottom one, contractual services is large. Both of those are attributable to our contract with the city of Wilmington. That's where that $18 million falls in as part of our budget for fiscal year 18. It is recommended at the same rate that we have been paying. As Councilman Cartier alluded to, the contract expired, I think, almost 3 years ago. We've been talking to the new administration and had very positive communication and hope that we get some resolution soon. But for the purposes of this recommended budget, It's the same. Positions, we're at 196.5 this year. It's consistent with where it's been through 2015. No real changes. Again, the next three pages discuss the department's diversity. The sewer fund has slightly higher diversity numbers, but I agree with Councilman Street, and I heard everything he said as far as the diversity plan. And it's certainly something we will work on. I've been talking to Liz Petrick a little bit about it in HR, and I know she did a lot of the recruiting for police. So I'm hoping that some of the things that have made it successful there, some of those strategies we can bring to our department. So I heard you, and I agree. Again, page 9 just shows the budget increases and decreases by object level. I will go into more detail on that on the following pages. Salaries and wages up 2.35%. Again, this would be merit increases and the increases in the union contracts, the 2%. Employee benefits, they went up roughly 2% over the past year, so that's what the 6.26% increase represents under that object level. Training and civic affairs have held constant. Under communication and utilities, there is a slight decrease. Overall, we increased the electric, and that's because Delmarva announced a 7% rate increase, so that $107,000 reflects that rate increase. On the sewer service side, it's actually related to the Wilmington treatment plant. We've been paying $219,000 as far as debt service on a capital improvement at the plant. And that final payment was made in 17, so we no longer have to be paying that debt service amount. Under materials and supplies, the changes are mostly just due to what we're seeing as far as historical spending. Chemical supplies, which is 19,000, the greatest increase. Digestion tubes and some of the lab equipment. Just historically, we've been spending more than we're budgeted for, and it's things that we need to do to keep up with our permits and the treatment plants, etc. Contractual services.
John.
What you see
Councilor
here.
Powers.
Back to communications and utility sewer service, Middletown, 15,000. What is that for?
Is that under Regis? That something?
Kathy McChrystal, Department Finance Officer. It's when we send flows to Middletown, we hit a certain amount. They will charge us. They have not charged us yet. We keep it there as a placeholder. When you're
As you know, we removed all of our flows from the Middletown. I think in the past there have been blips where we're cleaning our system or something and they get some backflow. I thought we'd work that out. I didn't realize we were, still budgeting for it, but I think that's a placeholder in the event that that happens. Is that correct? I believe it is. That's Kathy's understanding also.
Tony Schiavi, Special Services, Environmental Operations. We still have an active or an interconnection with Middletown. We can pump sewage there if we have to, and probably twice or maybe four times a year we have to flush out that line. So we do send them flows and we get charged for that flow that goes into Middletown.
Councilman Powers.
How much flow do we have to take from Middletown to Water Farm 1?
Do you mean what we service from the town of Middletown, not what we transfer?
In the contract, when we do so much for them, and I guess partly, living in Middletown and hearing the guys that work there. When we were sending sewage to them, they laughed about it because they sent it right back to us. I mean, it's a joke around Middletown. But if we're going to send any more, keep treating it anyway and get picked to pay them to do it twice.
No, I think that $15,000 was just in case.
I understand. If we're getting charged and they're turning around and sending it to our plant, which they are, or they were, and you can go and say whatever you want, but I've lived there most of my life. The people working in town, Kenny Branner laughs about it.
I know over the years have greatly reduced what they sent to Water Farm One. I'm not sure what the current number is. At one time, I can get back to you without that. They've dramatically reduced what they send to us.
The last time I had to get the flows, I had to go down to Denrack and get them myself.
It's not a problem. I can tell you.
I can get the flows. That's not hard.
Councilmember Diller.
I know this is a strange question, but I'm looking at your cellular wireless data services, and we all know that you can't operate without cell phones these days. We have so much land. Is there any need for cell phone towers that could be put on land that could then reduce? I mean, I'm talking about across the entire county government, that if we end up, I mean, it just seems crazy. We've got land. They need towers. Can we work something out here?
That's not a crazy question at all. That's a great question. And it's actually something the department has contacted several of the carriers and provided, you know, maps and locations.
Uh-huh.
I think we have, is it one agreement now or two? Some of the challenges we've had are on parkland.
Sure.
Whether we can do it because of the public trust doctrine.
Right.
And then some of the locations, it's tough. Even the residents, if it's too close to a neighborhood or something, you get a lot of complaints. And at times, I think we've talked to a couple council members about something in their districts, but it might have been too close to a neighborhood or something where that was going to present a lot of problems. Paul, do you want to add or provide a little more specific than
Paul, please. I think you covered most of it. Those are our biggest issues. I think the challenge we also have is how the land we acquire is acquired, what funds are used to acquire in terms of what we can use it for. So Jason's point about public trust, that's our biggest hurdle right now is that. We are in contract now with a company called Crown Castle. We have an MOU with those folks. And they wait till the major players in the game come to them and approach them about a particular parcel. They do an RF study that there's voids in their connectivity or voids in their service in certain areas. They come to us and say, is this parcel available? But then again, most times it falls under the parks label. You can't use that property. Or have you to find a way to overcome that?
I'm just looking at, I mean, you guys are a big department, so that's understandably large, but I just thought across the entire county, why aren't we looking at this and maybe what we could do that helps to reduce this. So, thank you.
Were you bungee jumping from the towers?
Councilman Sheldon.
On the landfill charges, have they been down? Is this less than it was like 2 years ago? Do you know of?
Jim Hedrick, Special Services. The landfill, we just take... we take very limited out of the sewer fund because the debris out of the waterways is taken to Holland Mulch. And we don't take that much trash to landfill. We begin tracing. We come from mostly from the general fund.
From the general fund. I just see it $27,000. I didn't know if that was up or down. That's all.
And Councilman, I see landfill charges $12,000 in the general fund. So
a total of 30.
Yeah,
roughly.
That landfill is flat.
I mean, we lowered tonnage $20 a ton. That's what I was just getting at. So if we get the same amount, we should
do more.
Well, or get more back. The way it's done with the disposal fee, you actually get money back at the end of the year. You just write a check, because that's what the small haulers want. Okay, I'm sure you saw with the DDF, the part of where you get the rebate. All right, I'm just curious.
Councilman Powers.
Yeah, just a question on the cell phone. They keep, you know, I guess at one time I said there wouldn't be a problem in southern Newcastle County, which there wouldn't be south of Middletown. But they want to put one on Water Farm 1, which would be all right if it went into the trees to the north. But they keep wanting it in the middle of the view shed so it takes care of Middletown. And, I mean, we got a view shed probably over a mile long, and we're going to put a tower in the middle of it? I mean, I'm just saying, Councilman Bell and I were like, you know, we're willing if they put it out of the way, but it's right in the middle of the whole thing.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I think many years ago, when I was with the state, Bill Bliss sued Newcastle County because he did not want Tri-State Bird Rescue on our land. And from that, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding from that point, because it affected state parks also, is that if there was any federal money that went into the building or acquisition of those parks, you could not lease them out to make money off of them.
Sense.
Correct, or else you had to get equal
compensatory
property somewhere
land
else.
Someplace
and
else.
Compensatory,
yes.
And kind
which
of
is,
the, yeah.
Which is exactly the problem that the state is having with the Polly Drummond Hill waste yard waste site, is there's a federal overlay on that, mm-hmm. and they need to move that in order to keep that yard waste site open.
Okay, any other questions? We'll proceed.
Contractual services. You'll see in this one reductions in a lot of categories, but then an increase under attorney legal fees of $109,500. So money was taken out for the most part of these other areas to fund an addition. Additional money for legal fees. This is related to the Army Creek Superfund site. A lot of you are familiar with that site. There's been a new contaminant found in that area relatively recently over the past couple of years. And right now, we are in a battle. Delaware Sand and Gravel is the adjacent landfill. And there's, we believe it comes from Delaware Sand and Gravel, but we're in the middle of both technical and legal arguments with DSNG and with EPA to keep ourselves out of that. The agreements that date back to the, I guess, 80s required us to treat groundwater from the DSNG site. And they're very complex. I mean, these things are binders of agreements. But it's a complicated issue, even though we don't believe we're the source, and we believe that DSNG was negligent in their remedy. Their cap was not effective. We therefore should not have to continue to pay, you know, costs related to that. We still anticipate the next year to be a pretty big legal and technical battle over that. So that's what that money is for. Hopefully we don't have to use all of it, but.
And we've decommissioned the pump and treat at the Army Creek landfill, right?
That was a huge, huge victory. John's not here today, but John has been, you know, led that, and that was significant. We got EPA to sign off on the fact that our remedy had worked and we could shut down that facility, and that was over $1 million in operating costs a year. So that was a huge win for us, but now we have this new contaminant that we have to defend ourselves against.
What is the contaminant, if you don't mind telling us?
I'm going to have to look to Mike Harris.
1,4-dioxane.
Dioxin.
1,4. We had this. Some of you might remember the BCEE. We had something similar happen with respect to BCEE a number of years ago. The treatment plant was actually set up to take iron out of the groundwater, so it didn't even address these other contaminants. So we spent a good deal of time and effort defending ourselves against the BCEE, so now it's the 1,4-dioxane.
Okay.
Questions? Equipment replacement, not a significant increase, pretty consistent with the equipment replacement schedule that we keep.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Bell.
Tracy, does the equipment replacement include vehicles?
It does for the sewer operation.
Just for
no,
sewer?
No, it does not. I'm sorry, it doesn't include the pickup trucks. It's just the deck trucks or the construction equipment. Kathy's going to answer. I'm just going to be quiet. Completely.
Well, you have a lot of questions.
Kathy, Department of Finance Officer. The equipment, the trucks, and that kind of stuff is in the capital budget.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Knew you'd have it.
But then we lease it. And I'm still confused. Because it's capital, but we lease it. That's still a scrivener.
Either get her more help or give her more money.
I know. And the rest of this budget, there's not really any changes in grants and fixed charges or anything else to do that.
Councilman Powers.
Conservation District, the University of Delaware Water Resource Agency, and the settlements. I just would like to know what exactly is all three of them.
Sure. By state code, we are to provide a certain amount of money annually to the Conservation District. That's state law. And I believe it's state law, our contribution to the University of Delaware Water Resources Agency. And we are trying to work with them a little more. I know the Land Use Department benefits from their services, does a lot of coordination with them. We've met with them over the past few months to see if there's any assistance they can provide our department, just because we do, you know, help fund those. Because both of those things are things we're required to do legally.
What are they for?
What are they for?
Yeah, or I mean, the conservation district, some of that is what for tax ditches, which I think it did in the past. We put so much and then it triggered so much from the state. It was a lower amount. How much is it now?
Well, Tony Schiavi, Environmental Operations, the $120,000 is really two components. $75,000 of it is mandated by the state code, and the county puts up $75,000 and the state matches it.
Yeah, that's
the it used to be for just tax ditches, but they've broadened the use of that to more general
projects. They're using more,
but
they weren't using any for a while, so that was part of the problem.
Right.
Especially 90% of the tax ditches are in my district, so.
And that takes care of $75,000 of the $120,000. And then the $45,000 is mandated through a 1990 agreement with the Conservation District, which we participate in a zero interest lease program with them, where we lease their equipment. And it's usually a 5 or 6 year lease. Right now we're leasing a D6N Caterpillar bulldozer that we use to manage our landfill over Ronnie Creek. And we, those payments, once that equipment is paid for, we don't owe anything on it and we still get to use the equipment. It's got a county seal on it and it's got a county number. And our last bulldozer, the one that we traded in, we leased that for 5 years, and we ended up using it for the next 15 years, so it's a pretty good deal.
They still, I mean, with this, they take 20% off of that for administration?
No.
Okay, because that's what they do in most.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the past, I know equipment, when they were digging ditches, probably 20, 30 years ago, we owned the excavators, we had the operators in them. And, you know, it was through the district. But I guess the other one is, what's the Delaware Resource Agency? I mean, is that the Geological Survey, or what the heck is that?
Tony Schiavi, Environmental Operations. Really, that shows up in our budget. It's a placeholder. land use gets the benefit of that. What they do is they have to keep up-to-date maps of the water resource protection areas within New Castle County. And a lot of that effort goes into that. And it guides the land use process to make sure that there's not a lot of development in pervious areas encroaching on those water resource protection areas. And they do other things. I believe they participate in the RAPTAC groups as well. It's more than just that, but that's just...
Part of that, I do understand. I mean, they've done drilling, the university has on my farm, for figure and recharge.
Right.
And that's what I'm wondering. Just going back, part of Rick Mikowski's salary comes out of this 122.
You might be right.
Yeah.
But he does tax districts.
But the...
That's part of this one.
Right.
One of the things that the district uses for that $75,000 that we give them is they'll use that to cost share some projects where we put up money.
I understand.
And so we kind of get the benefit of that. And the 20% would be applied to any purchase order that we have with them for a specific project where we identify funds from somewhere and have them do the management of the project.
I mean, part of this, and some of it's in Councilman Bell's district, and there's a few around. I think there's even a ditch in George's district. We had a lot of ditches dug 30 years ago, and there really hasn't been a lot of, it's been maintained, but they haven't dipped them out. Now, if you were in Sussex County, every 5 years you'd have to dip them out or they wouldn't work on sand. And partly how that money went, because a lot of those years they didn't have it. Well, right now I got a whole bunch of ditches failing, and it's backing water up where septic systems are failing. This, and Rick Mikowski is supposed to help manage this. I have a lot of ditches that started as ag ditches, and now they're urban ditches, and nobody stays on the boards. And who's doing the calls to these are my aide? And they think it's New Castle County, but the thing is, Rick's not doing his job. And if we got any pressure, we need to put it on Rick to start, because I just found out about another ditch last week that I didn't even know about that's failing. And I think when Kevin Donnelly was still at Denver, we had a problem because a guy, and it's a pretty low income area, was pumping water out because the septic system was backing up, and it was going into a wellhead next door. But the problem was the total ditch failed. It was backing right up. And, you know, this becomes a health problem if we don't take care of these. So you're saying other projects, if they're earmarked for that, there hasn't been anything that's been used somewhere else, and they need to be used on taking care of these problems, because these ditches are getting outdated. I just got to say something. I've been getting a lot of calls here lately. Got in touch with Kevin, but that money needs to be spent, and really Rick needs to do some more work. And I've never said anything, and he's been a problem probably for 10 years now that I've been on here, and I'm just getting tired of doing his job and him taking credit for it. And we're paying part of his salary.
Okay, any other comments, questions? On the sewer fund FY 2018 request. Do you have any? Yeah. Councilman Sheldon.
I assume the rate is still the same for the septic pump out into, I guess it's on 13 you go to, and then down state, down county.
You got one.
Yeah.
The septic receiving station, yes, that rate is the same.
Right, that's Kent. That's right. And we're cheaper. But we are cheaper than Kent County, I think. I guess we.
What are
I
the
think
rates?
We are.
And I was going to ask if the rates could be emailed. That's all.
Yeah.
To us. Mm-hmm. Or just me or maybe Bill. We probably didn't want to scare her. The only reason is I still want to go back like the landfill does. I just saw their rates, or more money came to them. when they were able to get a discount. You charge the same, and then after so much, they gave a discount of, like, I don't know what it'd be, like $5 every 1,000 gallons. But that rebate check really helps small people. I mean, if not, that's why we all go zero and single on our taxes. We know that's not the way to do it, but we do it because we want money at the end of the year. And you'd be surprised how many small business owners, once they get that $100, $200 check and they got a pump that needs to be fixed, they say, wow, I mean, I got something I got. And these are not big organizations that are doing this. So I would really think you bring your stuff to us, don't go to Kent, and you bring it to us, we'll give you a discount at the end of the year. You'll get a rebate. It would be the discount. So I don't, believe it or not, it does sound like, well, why would you do it? It still comes out the same. That check at the end of the year or quarterly really just fascinates them because it's money they never thought of.
That's a good idea. Thank you. I'll get you the rates, but I think the last time we changed them, we actually brought them down to make our more competitive.
I think we have
to bring it to you to change them, but I'll make sure I...
Right, but that's where we could still set the same rate but get the discount. I'm telling you, you'll get some more people that want to do that.
Councilman Powers.
As I remember, we need to make sure we check with Pennsylvania because we are having more people running to Pennsylvania. Some of them I know, talking to some of the guys, and they are small businesses, most of them.
Oh.
And they still are going to Smyrna because it's just closer. They're running all the way to Newcastle. And if they're up that way, I'd rather them dump up there and we collect the money.
Okay. Highlights for FY17?
Fiscal year 17 accomplishments. Met our 500-mile goal for cleaning sanitary sewer. We hit 552 the last year. Over 39,000 missed utility calls that we responded to and marked lines, both emergency and regular calls. The third bullet is one of our big preventative maintenance programs. One of the things EPA looked at, the trunk line preventative maintenance, chemical root control, and our CCTV program. We've reduced SSOs by 35% over the past year. These are programs we'd like to continue to enhance over time. I'd like to recognize the paving jobs that our construction support group has done, both at Hillcrest, Powell, and at the Kimberton Police Academy. Both big jobs, and they keep track of their costs and have found that we can do it for less than if we hire somebody out to do it contractually. We submitted under our stormwater permit, we submitted a final stormwater pollution prevention and management plan. And out of that, the two watersheds that we're to focus on initially are the Christina and the Dragon Run. And we're in the process of submitting water quality improvement plans for those two watersheds, where we'll have to propose projects to improve the water quality in those areas based on stormwater runoff. So that's one of the big components of our MS4 stormwater permit. You see the numbers on our inspections for stormwater management facilities. We're at over 2,000 now, and about 1,300 commercial food establishments that we inspect annually. And a big one as far as our sewer capital, we're about 95% complete with phase one of the Brandywine 100 sewer rehabilitation program. I think we're gonna provide an update to council soon on that, but we got much better results as far as reducing INI than we'd originally anticipated. So we're working with DENREC now. Although we'll do a lot of the projects in phase two, we don't believe they're necessary to comply with the secretary's order. So we're trying to work that out with DENREC over the next 6 months. I just hit some of the highlights there. It's more for you all to read and enjoy. Goals and objectives over the over the next year. We are gonna hopefully be getting our new stormwater permit and complete the water quality improvement plans for the Christina and Dragon Run watersheds, complete construction of the Governor Prince Interceptor, that's a big one for us, We hope on the sewer side to be taking the CityWorks software to a new level, using it in different ways to improve our efficiency. We're looking at increasing our training with safety being the primary objective. Actually, our sewer maintenance group had a consultant in our department for 4 days last week evaluating our operation, and they're going to then come up with a training program, number one, to focus on safety, but also to focus on kind of best business practices. You know, how can you be the most efficient? Pick the nozzle, but when you use it for a certain situation, is going to let you go 3 years between a cleaning instead of two. So that started with sewer maintenance, and we're going to do the same type of thing in some of our other sections. So some of the highlights for you.
Can I go back to the NPDES permit and the watersheds you mentioned?
Yeah.
Christina and...
And
I guess I know that we, our co-permittee is DelDOT.
Right.
I mean, in the older subdivisions, they convey the stormwater directly into the streams through their catch basin systems associated with streets. I mean, what realistically are we able to do to coordinate with them on that or to provide improvements? I get it where there are stormwater ponds that we are in the newer subdivisions where we go and do inspections, and the maintenance corporation takes care of the minor and we'll do the major rebuild later. I can see that, but really what's our role with this? Is particularly in regards to the Christina, you know?
Yeah, I think some of the things we can do are things like stream bank stabilization, and like we'll probably talk about more of the projects. The goal, the way the permit is set up, is we have to reduce in that basin what would effectively be the result of like reducing impervious surface by like 2 to 3% in that basin. Mike is more familiar with the specific technologies we would use. It's different in each basin. What are some of the...
Well, Mike here, Special Services. DelDOT's been a great partner with us. They've put up a lot of money. They're managing actually the contracts for those W water quality improvement plans. So they've been right there with us. But as Tracy said, like, you know, in a community like you're talking about that has no stormwater management, stream restoration is a great option. Or you can look to do different projects. We're looking at all state and county properties in the Pristina now and Dragon Run, and looking to do stuff on our own properties.
Councilman Powers.
I just, you know, I think you hit onto it. I mean, restoring the stream bank, you're still going to be putting pollutants to your pond it up. So you're impervious, you're going to have to catch that water somehow. So it'll catch evaporate the nitrates out of the water. Catch whatever else in the basin, but that was, I think, you were in the 21st Century Fund. Mm-hmm. Money was supposed to be to take out some houses and put in ponds to catch this, which we've had to buy some because they're flooding, and it's just, that's the only way you're really going to improve it, because you can go put all the riprap you want, you're not improving the water quality, keeping it from maybe some little bit of nutrients eroding, but you're not catching the majority of it.
All good points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Challenges. I think a couple of them are the same as the general fund as far as increasing assets. That we need to maintain. I think succession planning is another big one for us in the sewer fund. Also here, you'll see noting the Christiana River force main, which is our high volume force main. It carries about 60% of the flow north of the canal. And there's currently not any redundancy, but we are in the midst of developing both a contingency plan, because we seem to be seeing more threats from other utilities or other people digging in close proximity to the line, and also a long-term plan for building redundancy into the system. So we are, we actively are working with a consultant on those things right now. And the other thing noticed here is, and I've alluded to that, the inspection demands that keep increasing for the stormwater ponds. Vacancies, 25 in the sewer fund. They're listed on page 18. Mm-hmm. 25 funded vacancies. We talked a little bit about how we're filling when we talked about the general fund, so I know you guys don't want to hear my beliefs anymore then.
Do you have any plans to hire in this, in the funded vacancy here?
I'm trying to look down this list and see what might be.
An opportunity to diversify the workforce as well?
No, we would very much, we would like to do that. I think we're working to get through the next few months and see where the county as a whole, you know, ends up between mm-hmm. the state, between going through the performance review and
right.
really being able to hire a little bit more. Again, I talked about it kind of at the beginning, the sewer fund is held to the same standard as the general fund, even though it's funded differently through the sewer rate. So again, that's another reason, at least to me, to consider funding it, you know, more independently as utility, and then you'd have a little bit more flexibility, I think, on some of the positions and really meeting those needs.
Councilman Couch.
I mean, we should be at 221.5 funded positions instead of 196, which we've been for the past 3 years.
About more people.
Well, you know, if you're holding it to the same, it's going to be a problem when it starts failing. And it's a real problem. And it's one of those things where you see police on the street and you don't see this until you pull it down the flush. And, you know, pump station mechanics, you got four of them, a master mechanic, operators. Some are deceased, resigned, retired, terminated, transferred. It just, you know, masonry. You know, if you go watch where they knock off one of the manholes, you gotta have somebody to put the bricks back in or circle. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess in the past, sometimes I'm watching chiefs get hired and not enough Indians. And from my standpoint, especially doing that type of different work, I need Indians, not chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how many years have we seen this? Same thing.
I don't know.
You know, but you know, it just, so we, you know, we've had 25 for the past 3 years. We've been probably 25 short, and we've been holding it to 196.
But we need them. We've got to be able to get a party to the state for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We might not have to worry about EPA.
Yeah.
They're going to be applying.
Might have to worry about them, right? Not EPA.
Anything under contractual services you wanted to mention?
No, again, this is just the detail for some of the things
okay.
I already went over.
All right. Are there any other comments, questions on the FY 2018 Sewer Fund and General Fund for Department of Special Services? Anybody on council? Any questions? I guess, just closing, for me, you know, with the sewer fund, having some clarity about when we're going to get back to complete Governor Prince is important. And I think that, you know, we're going to need to reach out to the community when we go forward with that phase two, to complete phase two, how we're going to do that. And, but that's not necessarily to finish in order to close off the sewer overflow there on the Delaware at, what's that point
Stony
there?
Stony Creek.
Yeah.
Actually, a portion of it is. So we are going to be getting it out to bid soon. Not
okay.
The full, but a portion of the distance mm-hmm. is. Actually, I think we were prepared to discuss some of this.
Yeah,
of
we
our
will do that.
That we
right.
didn't get there, but we will do
Absolutely.
That soon, and we'll talk to you mm-hmm. in more detail about it. And then I said we do need to set up a public meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Well ahead of time. So.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? On the special services budget presentation. Anything from the public? Have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The budget